My name is Fernanda Scharfenberger. I am 17 years old. Today is December 2nd, 2019. I'm here talking with Lee Scharfenberger, who is my mamma, and we are in Louisville, Kentucky.
Hi.
So I wanted to hear a little bit about kind of starting off. I was really hoping to talk a little bit about Willow. And so I think I've never actually heard the story of how y'all met. So do you remember
that story? Oh, yes, I do. So you're a abuelo, and I met actually at a bar.
Very romantic.
So we were both divorced, and there was, I can't remember the name of Flaherty's, and it was a kind of a dance club for middle-aged people, and so we were both sort of members of this Catholic support group for divorced people called New Beginnings, or at least I was. So we would go as a group to this bar, and we would just meet people and dance, and it was a very safe, you know, environment. So I would just go with a bunch of girlfriends. And and he was there one night, and he asked me to dance. And so that night, we danced almost every dance together.
Wow.
And almost. Then he gave me his business card. And we didn't hook up right away. We didn't get together again. But then a few weeks later, I went back, and he was there again. And so we danced again, and then he asked me out for a date. And I wasn't quite sure about going out with somebody that I didn't know very well.
Mm-hmm.
So we arranged a lunch date.
Lunch date.
Mm-hmm. And so we had lunch one day. I was working at a local bank, and so he came to the bank, and we went across the street to Jack Fry's and had lunch. And then we just started dating.
I'm stopping it. Was that yours?
Yeah.
I totally thought it was my dad's.
No, it's mine.
Oh, that's so funny. Okay, so that takes the second question. Okay. So, so can you talk a little bit about just kind of your relationship in general? Like, how was it? What kind, like, what were your all's favorite things to do together? Do you have any, like a specific really happy moment that kind of stands out to you or anything like that?
Well, obviously, we both like to dance,
mm-hmm.
since that's how we started out. We love to camp. In our earlier years, our younger years. So we would go do some tent camping around. I can remember going to Otter Creek. I don't know if that's still even open yet, but they had these little cabins. And, you know, we'd stay overnight there and do a lot of hiking and building a fire and cooking out. And we did some tent camping around Natural Bridge. I can remember sleeping in a tent right next to a little creek that was kind of a babbling brook, and then having breakfast. And John loved to cook breakfast on those camping trips, a big breakfast, you know, like bacon and eggs.
Mm-hmm.
And
wow. Every morning?
On those camping trips,
wow.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah, so that was, those are some really happy memories. We did a lot of traveling. Did some beach traveling, renting beach houses with the family. I don't know if you remember any of that, but you were there for some of them.
I think I remember one beach trip. Yeah. That was the last big family trip I can remember.
Yeah.
Besides Joseph's.
Yeah.
But and so how long were you guys dating until he proposed?
Let's see. Probably 4 years.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember how did the proposal go? How did you do it?
Well, we went out to dinner one night, and he just proposed after dinner. It was actually on my birthday.
Great birthday gift. Uh-huh.
Yeah, and then we waited almost a year before we got married after that.
What was the wedding like?
Oh, it was so beautiful. It was an afternoon wedding, and we were living in Shelbyville. And so we got married at the Catholic Church there in Shelbyville, Kentucky. And then we had a reception in their reception hall right next to the church, but we had lots of tables outside. It was in May. It was just a beautiful day. So we had tables outside and inside. And we had a band. And oh, this was such a special part. John had, he loved to sing and he loved country music, but I didn't like country music. Mm-hmm. And so it's sort of a little dig at me, but it was very romantic.
Yes.
He sang a country song to me called I'm Gonna Love You Forever and Ever, Amen.
Who's that by?
Randy Travis, I think.
Randy Travis. Mm-hmm. I know country music. Music in general is a big part of the family, the Scherfenbergers. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I know that travel is something that you love.
Yes.
And I wondered if you and Abuelo were able to do that much.
We did.
To travel to other places.
Yes, we did. When on our honeymoon, we went to New Orleans, and he just loved New Orleans because he loved music so much and jazz music. And mm-hmm. so we got a place in the French Quarter. And when you travel to places like that and you're walking the streets of the French Quarter, there's all these people out there trying to get you to buy timeshares, or there was at that time. And so we kind of got roped into buying a timeshare there.
Really?
And because we loved it so much. But that just, at the time, back then, it was a lovely way to trade it out and travel different places and know that you were trading it out for a place that was really special and nice. So that was before the virtual tours online where you could look at a place and kind of mm-hmm. check it out before you got there.
You didn't really.
Yeah, so this was sort of a guaranteed way of knowing that we were going to sort of travel in style, you know, mm-hmm. to different places. And so we did that quite a bit. We traveled to different places and trade out our timeshare for a place in mm-hmm. someplace else. So we didn't That's always cool. go back to the French Quarter.
It's the same place. So where else did you travel?
Well, let's see. We went to Aruba and Grand Bahama Island. We went up to Boston for a while, for several days, and traveled to Philadelphia and Old Williamsburg. We went to San Francisco. Although that was not on the timeshare, that was when I won 2 plane tickets to anywhere in the U.S. So we decided to go to San Francisco because neither one of us had been there, so. Mm.
How did you win 2 tickets to anywhere?
Well, I was working at the airport at the time.
Okay.
For the bank out there. And they had a new airline called Southwest that came in.
No way. Yeah. I didn't realize it was such a new airline. Yeah.
Well, that was 30 years ago. But, and they had a big party there to celebrate their coming to the Louisville airport, and they had a drawing, and so I mm-hmm. entered the drawing and I won the 2 plane tickets. So
it's crazy. That's super cool. It definitely would have been even more exciting if it was like anywhere in the world. Where would you have gone, do you think, if it would have been anywhere in the world?
I would have gone to Italy.
Yeah, Italy, of course. Should have known, of course.
And then, of course, we traveled to Peru.
I was about to ask that. I couldn't remember if y'all went together or not.
Yeah.
How long was your stay then? Like, what do you remember from that? Yeah.
I think we were there 2 weeks, and your mother went with us, Maria.
I'm sure. Yeah.
Yes, of course. And to visit her aunt and John's sister, Sue, who lived there. So that was a lovely trip because going to a foreign country like that can be very intimidating, but when you have someone that knows the lay of the land as well as Sue did, and Maria, and they both spoke such perfect Spanish, so that was a wonderful trip, and they made it so easy. And
did you stay mainly in the city, or did they ever go into the mountains during that time?
We did go into the mountains. We went to San Miguel.
Yeah.
And
what was
that
like?
That was John's favorite part. Yeah, that was lovely because it was just such a quaint little village, and oh, the people were so lovely and accepting and welcoming to us, and that was just really special. My favorite part was Machu Picchu.
Oh, you guys got to go there.
We got to go to Machu Picchu, yeah.
Whenever I tell people I've gone to Peru, that's their first question.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, of all the times I've gone, I haven't really done many touristy thingies.
But very spiritual place. It's not, it didn't seem touristy at all. It was quite a trek to get there, and it took a lot of effort, you know, to get there.
My mom shows me photos of back when you were allowed to, like, walk in all the spaces that they've now, like, closed off. And it definitely seems much more, like, as opposed to now where it's, like, very much.
Right.
Only certain parts and everything. I want to stop that so it's not, like, an awkward pause while I figure out. Okay. So then what were some, I think just going in into the broader, talking more about relationship with Abuelo, what were some of, like, key lessons you learned from that relationship?
I think when we came together, you know, we were middle-aged, and we had both come to a place in our lives where we were more comfortable with ourselves and just being on our own, so we weren't what you might say needy or expecting certain things from a relationship. So I think we just were easier about it, you know, and we knew we were more confident about how we wanted to be in a relationship. And I think sometimes that takes time and maturity to figure that out. And we were both just very supportive of each other in the things that we each wanted to do that might be different from the other one, you know. So we had different interests. We had similar interests that we enjoyed together, but we were also able to enjoy our own interests separately or together, but you know, be supportive of that and not be in any kind of competition or you know. So it was a very easy, satisfying relationship, I think. And it was because we had come together at a time in our life where we were kind of on the same page and felt the same way about that kind of thing.
Do you feel like, given, like, the time when you guys did come together, like, knowing yourselves better, do you think, like, that helped in terms of the easiness of the relationship?
Very different. Definitely, yeah. And like I say, that takes just time and experience, I think. And some couples can grow together in that as they're learning that, and some don't, you know. So, but yeah, it was, I think that knowing your inner self and being comfortable with that, then you can come to a relationship where you're not needing that other person to be a certain way for you to be happy. You kind of learn your own happiness is within and kind of lets them off the hook, so to speak, so that they're not responsible for your happiness.
Yeah, because I've been thinking about that, because being a senior in high school and things, and having a lot, seeing a lot of relationships that are very strong, you know, that are now actually becoming serious, and like seeing like where there is that possibility of relying too much on each other for happiness, and like, I think that's a very good point. So Christmas is coming up and Thanksgiving just passed. So what was your favorite holiday to spend with Abuelo, or do you remember anything that, because I know, like, our family during Christmas at least has like a couple of traditions. Mm-hmm. So I didn't know if like there were any that stood out to you.
Yeah, or... Christmas was a fun time with your abuelo. And he had some funny little quirky things he liked to do. One in particular that I had a little trouble adjusting to the first time or two is he loved to go out looking for just a deciduous tree, you know, that had no leaves on it, mm-hmm. and cutting down this tree that was just bare branches. Mm-hmm. This is what he wanted his Christmas tree to be. And he would just put these clear lights on it and red balls and a star, which was made of aluminum foil that his daughter Angela had made when she was like 8 or 9
years old. Oh, that's cute.
And so to me, it looked like a Charlie Brown Christmas tree. And I was concerned about how my children would feel about this not having a green Christmas tree for Christmas. So the first year, we put up both trees, his tree and my green tree. Okay? Mm-hmm. And my kids come out and they're just enthralled with his tree. So from then on, we just put up his tree.
Yeah, you knew you didn't have to worry about the kids.
But it was quite the ordeal to go out looking for one of these trees, because most of the time it was on somebody else's property, you know? And so I was always looking over our shoulder to make sure nobody was coming up behind us with a shotgun. Saying, get off my property.
It seems whenever I hear Abuelo described, he was very, like, outgoing, like, adventurous.
Yes, he was.
Are there any memories, like, that you remember of him being that type of way, with the tree, like, mm-hmm. and going to cut it down himself mm-hmm. and everything?
Yeah. Yes, well, I mean, he was the person who, when we would go out to eat, you know, he would engage the waiter or waitress, you know, and want to hear their story. And so wherever we would go, I mean, he would find friends to talk to and people to ask. He was always asking people, interviewing them, so to speak.
Yes, but that would
background was his in journalism. So, mm-hmm. He was always asking people questions about themselves and starting conversations. And so
That's interesting, given what we're doing.
Yes,
that he would be into the stories.
Oh, he would stories. Love this. He would love for you to interview him, I'm sure.
Oh gosh. that would be so fun. And so you kind of mentioned his background and like mm-hmm. work. Was he working at the time when you guys met? Was he still
Right when we met, yes, when we met and at the dance club, and yeah, he was working at the Louisville airport, and at that time they called it Standifer Field. It wasn't Louisville International Airport. But he left there soon after and went to work for the University of Kentucky in their public relations.
Right.
And so that's when we moved to Shelbyville, because that was sort of in between Louisville. I was working at the bank in Louisville, and then he was working in Lexington, and so mm-hmm. Shelbyville was just sort of an in-between spot. So
was he a big reader, and like did he keep up with what was happening then because of that?
Yes, of course. Yeah, I mean, the newspaper was his first event in the morning. Uh-huh. You know, he had to read the newspaper from cover to cover, and I had all kinds of magazines and papers stacked everywhere, and he had lots of reading material all the time.
And then do you remember what it was like when the first grandkid came? So Joy, do you remember what it was like and how Abuela was and everything?
He was very, very excited. And we found out right after Joy was born that she had an at-home birth, you know, with a midwife.
Oh, my goodness.
And but then there was a complication with her, and so we got word that they had gone to the hospital, so we immediately had to get in the car and go, of course. Mm-hmm. And it turned out fine. She was fine. But so we we did get to see her that night and hold her, and he was hooked ever since. And so then he started doing some babysitting for her because he was retired.
Mm-hmm.
So they would bring her to him, and I was still working. And then when you came along, he did the same for you. So I think at least one day a week, and maybe two, your mom would bring you to him,
mm-hmm.
and he would take care of you all by himself, because I wasn't there, I was working.
Oh goodness, who knows what he did when we were by ourselves. My goodness, just thinking about like the trash can story and yes. the, oh my gosh, yeah.
That would be he was great adventures. Fun.
Yeah, for sure. Let me think. So I guess for relationships in general, what like advice would you give to someone? And I mean, it doesn't have to be about like do this and your relationship will be the happiest, mm-hmm. like just anything of like, yeah.
You know, I had an awareness not long ago that I was thinking about relationships and how they, you know, come and go in your life. And I mean, the same people that you start out with are not there, you know, forever, and relationships change. So even parental child relationships change as the child gets older and the parent gets older, or friendships or whatever. And it seemed to me the easiest relationships are those of a very dear friend, wouldn't you say?
Mm-hmm.
And if we could treat every relationship like a very dear friend, I think they'd be more successful and easier.
Mm-hmm. I like that. I really like that. And let's see. I think maybe just going forward, like, it has been quite a few years now since Abuelo passed. And mm-hmm. so, how do you, like, I guess honor that spirit without being, you know, like focused on it, you know, mm-hmm. like letting it, you know, overtake just you living your life now, mm-hmm. especially maybe earlier on.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think in the beginning, of course, it's just natural to be almost consumed by your grief, you know. But that, you don't have to suffer in that. And I think the way you choose not to suffer is to give yourself permission to be happy again and to find joy in living your life without this person physically there with you, but just knowing that love connection never leaves you, you know, that it's always there. Like when I don't see you for a while and you're not in my physical presence, I still feel your love and that connection, you know. So when someone transitions and they're not physically here any longer, you can still feel that connection, but you have to allow it. And when you're consumed with grief and pain, you don't allow it. You don't feel it. You mm-hmm. feel very separated. And so it's just a choice that you have to decide in any situation, I think. You do that on a daily basis, you know. Do I want to be happy in this moment, or do I want to continue thinking a thought that gives me pain?
Mm-hmm.
And so you can always control your thoughts. It takes practice, I think, and it takes a focus. So you need to, I think, become aware that if you focus on appreciation, that's the easiest way. You can always find something to appreciate in any given moment. And when mm-hmm. you do that, it just sort of gains momentum, and then you find more things to appreciate, and soon your spirits are lifted and you've chosen happiness.
So gratitude.
Not so much gratitude. I think appreciation is better. Gratitude seems like you don't, you may not deserve it, you know, or you had to work for it, or you had to overcome something. Where to me, appreciation is just looking at something and viewing it and appreciating it, you know, and it's not about deserving or overcoming or working towards something, but you just appreciate. You're just joyful and happy about something.
I like that. I really like that. I think that is all of the questions I have
for
today. But I'm really happy I was able to learn more about this. I feel like we hit so many different subjects, and I feel like I definitely know Abuelo better, like, after listening to you, so.
Well, you're a great interviewer. So. You really led me along the path that you wanted to go on.
Thank you. Okay. You're welcome. You gonna say bye? Bye.
Adios.
Awesome.